Hello and welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Joe. This is Avoiding Thursday podcast where we look at the law and try to understand how it all works. This episode, we'll be looking at... Whoa. Hang on, wait a second. Why is this blank?
What?
Why is this blank?
Well, you see...
Come on, guys, why is this blank?
Well, you see, we haven't thought of anything for this episode.
Great, then. So what am I supposed to do?
I don't know, just have some sort of chit-chat?
I'm going to take your chi, then the chi of every panda in the...
Chit-chat.
In this...
Chitty-chitty-chat-chat-chat-chat-chat.
In this...
Chit-chat.
Hello everybody, aren't I hilarious? Wasn't that so funny? Welcome back everybody, welcome back to Through the Mist. Yes, so as alluded to by my amazing intro, where, you know, I played two characters, me and
me.
The setup for that is so dumb as well. So dumb, love it. Yeah, welcome back. So yeah, no normal episode this time because I had this idea a while ago, and you know what? I'm doing it. It's happening now. The Have Your Say episode is here, people. Whoop whoop! Yes, Mistbusters. Let's get excited. Have Your Say episode is here. So all of this stuff, all this information was gathered through both emails and socials. So if you want to partake in one that may occur in the future, I don't know. There's no timeline for these things. You can email through.t.mist@gmail.com or get in touch with the socials at @through_mist if you feel like it. Yes. Quick heads up. Because things are happening in the world, if you listen to this as it's producing. In the world of Percy Jackson, to be clear, I'm not talking about world events. I don't really know what world events are. So Sun and the Stars just got released. I haven't read it yet because I'm recording in the past. I'm recording it before release, so don't worry. No spoilers based off that book quite yet. Next month, however, maybe, probably. We're going to see. Hopefully I can find one. That's the plan. But yes... So, now that's all out of the way, and I'm having fun, we'll have a little thing, then we'll get into the your guys' is...
Yeah! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, hello. So, now calm down a bit, relaxing, you know, just have a chill out, maxing, relaxing. Shooting some people outside of the school, you know, that sort of style. And then, you know, just a couple of guys, I guess they were up to no good. They just, you know, they started causing trouble within my neighbourhood. And it's just not very nice, you know, when that happens. I've forgotten the rest of the lyrics then while trying to make it into a sentence. Yes, so before we get into specific responses that you people have written in, I thought, why not go through some reviews that have been left places, specifically Apple, and specifically the UK and US ones, because they're the only country codes I know. Because if you may not be aware, Apple region lock their podcast reviews and likes and stuff. So if you've reviewed in, I don't know, Australia, I don't know what that is. However, I have a quick system, a simple system to get around it is in the web bar, it goes www.apple.com/, and then there's a two-letter country code. For example, the UK, it's GB. For the US, it's US. I just need to guess other ones, and I can find them. But yeah, so just so actually, because of this, I've only got one to read because I've only had one in the past couple of years. So emoji 775, thank you for the Apple review. They wrote, really good, one of my favorite Voidinverse podcasts. Boop boop, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah boy. It makes me happy when people review. Also, this review happens to be one of the only ones that I don't know who this person is, so this is a fully random review and I'm very excited for it. So this is very exciting, so thank you very much to them, whoever you are, and thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy the shout out. Also, quick big up to the 10 people who have rated on Spotify. 4.9 out of 5. Let's go. Remember, you can also do this. This is... I hope you guys enjoy this, because this is not my usual content, and I hope you guys listen to it. Please say you've listened to it. Please say you stay around, and just, you want to hear Owen talk about things, because we do get into interesting things later. Yeah, later on, a lot of things, and then you get some of your guys' ideas, and then I'm going to talk about them at the same time. It's going to be great some fun. But to start off with people rounding off the start of the peopling, we have a DM on the Instagrams from a Maddie, and they have said, I want to get involved, but I don't know what to say. Please read this on the episode. I have read it on the episode. Sorted.
Say it, sorted.
Boom. yeah. So thanks, Maddie, for getting in touch. It was bet, mate. Bet and it bet. This is great fun. I shall see you guys on the other side of this. I really hope editing Owen is having as much fun as I plan on having with some of these edits and just breaks that I put in randomly. Because I haven't planned the breaks. The breaks are just going to happen. But I want some dumb intermission stuff. A bit like one of the ones last time. So I'm hoping we've got some dumb intermission stuff. I need to stop playing with things because you can hear that. Plug, go in the socket. No. Thank you. Okay. Focus, recenter. So, yes. I don't know why I put a break there. It just felt like there needed to be once. But we're going to start going through some... User submitted your guys' messages. Don't worry, there's not loads, because not many people got in touch, but don't worry. The heroes of the I'm presuming specifically one of them. But the heroes of keeping the start of the conversation alive within the Through the Mist podcasting did get in contact. Of course they did. They were the first ones. Muses of Mythology, whoop whoop, the mom of podcasting. Oh, I don't know. You know Darian, everyone knows Darian. Darian was on their podcast, their Percy Jackson based podcast, their mythological Percy Jackson based podcast. Darian got in touch, guys. Darian got in touch. That's all you need to know. They, I'm presuming, requested DJ to give something, and they sent it in one email from Muse of Mythology. So Muse of Mythology, woo, yay, love them. You're wonderful, guys. Yes, so okay, we got to read things now, because emails. So from DJ, we'll start with DJ's a little hoo-ha bit, and it goes something like this. Pretty sure Camp Half-Blood only exists so the gods have enough humans to keep worshipping them. The campers give offerings at every meal and are encouraged to praise their godly parents in times of need. If the gods really cared about training their kids to be heroes, running the camp wouldn't be seen as a punishment for Dionysus. They'd also have to put more effort into keeping their children at camp, but they don't need every kid to make it to camp. They just need enough to keep them from fading away. I kind of love this one, guys. I just on the down low, on the DL, this one is very DJ. When I've heard this from DJ before, and it is pretty. I think it's wunderbar. Like, because if you look at the bigger lore that we've also like built here, the gods survive off the mortals' collective knowledge of them. And if they don't have that collective knowledge, they fade away. It's one of the ways to fade away. But if you're actively partaking in the world and you're having children with mortals, and then these children are put into camp, you've got a collated place, and you've got a cycle of people that can never forget you, because you're creating them, and. It's juicy, isn't it? I think DJ explains enough there, but it's juicy. It's a little bit of juicy juice. Big old juicy juice. Yes, okay, DJ done. That's one half of Muses of Mythology. Let's go to the other half and the keeper of the conversation going here at Through the Maze, Darian. Guys, give it up for Darian. Round of applause, Darian, for really helping me personally just keep going with certain parts, because, you know, feedback's important. So, Darian's message reads something like this. Monsters turn to dust when they're slain, but what classifies as a monster is vast. I read that as Dracula, but that's not what that says, Darian. Why did you choose such a hard one to pronounce? Hellhounds, griffins, Pandos, and the Germani working for Nero. These things have little in common. I believe that creatures turn to dust upon death if they can be killed but cannot die of old age. My biggest piece of evidence is the Germani warrior that Apollo dusts in Tower of Nero. Obviously human, but his life force was tied to Nero's immortality. When he takes a bad groin hit, he turns to dust. Later, once Nero is vanquished, Apollo notes that some of the remaining guards have injuries that should have dusted them, but Nero is gone. They're no longer immortal and would die like a regular human. This is also a very well put together theory there, Darian. You presented evidence. You posed your hypothesis. You presented evidence to back up your hypothesis. And that's as far as we can go with this, because we can't repeat the experiment, because this is a book series that other people write. So. I don't want to say too much about my thoughts on this, because I have planned out quite a large number of episodes coming up, which is weird for me, but I've done it. They're all kind of linked together, but it starts with the Germani and then is going to go into what it makes a monster, because I came up with the definition back in my Bring on the Monsters episode, but I didn't remember the Germani, and now I want to change it and think about it harder. And this from Darian is currently top of the list to take over as the defining thing, but I want to see if we can come up with background details for it and just general chat about it a bit more in a bit of detail. So that's the plan for this. But so I'm not going to say too much more, but Darian, very good theory, love it. Thank you for partaking in the conversation. Groovy
Greeks. Wait a minute. Measly Middle Ages.
Hello, and welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Owen. Welcome back. Right then, we have got some more things to go through from people. Rowan, hello, wonderful to see you here, welcome to the gang. Hey, this is an official Mistbuster, this is an official listener that I do not know in any way, shape or form. It makes me excited. So hello Rowan, I loved receiving your email, thank you so much for getting in contact, I was very excited to see it. Just to help you in the future. Nothing bad, you know? But, like, you didn't put a subject in, and sometimes you can have some real fun with subject lines. Some real fun. So just, you know, have a bit of fun with the subject line. I'm playing with the plug again. I'm going to put it away. Hello, Rowan. So this is what Rowan has said. I love your podcast and was wondering how the Greek/Roman, Egyptian and Norse, and possibly Persian and Celtic too, gods can coexist in the Voidiverse if the creation stories of all those different pantheons contradict each other. What I mean by this is that if all those myths from those different mythologies are real in the Voidiverse, when they all have different creation stories, how can they all be true? Sorry, but that was very hard to explain. It sounded better in my head. Dude, trust me, I know the feeling. Through the Mist is one of my favourite Voidiverse podcasts. Don't say it, you're making me blush. And all your episodes are really interesting. We hope we finally have something that makes the world that is Rick's brilliant yet sometimes confusing manifestation make sense. And, oh God, dude. Thanks, dude. Totally. Like, you get me, dude. And, ah, dude, love you. But back to your question. And the point of this episode.
People out there that go, oh, you seem very mad on the podcast. I don't know what happens. I just start recording and I slowly explode.
Anywho. Yes, so back to your question. Why, how all creation stories exist? Blah, 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 blah. Well, soup. Yes. They all kind of contradict each other, yet all creation stories are also very similar. I've talked about this before, I think, somewhere. I know in the Percy's Wish episode, I did Big Daddy Spoiler Theory for Toa-Ton, because it had just come out then. And I started talking about it there. Let me have a quick peek at my notes for episodes and see if I can remember exactly what I said. Percy's Wish, what episode were you? So that was looking at, because it was chaos. It was the two chaoses. And like, how, yeah. And then, shapeshifting. The eternal nothingness. No, it was then there was some. And that's all about the origin stories. Here we go. But the basic answer is soup. So yeah, they all do kind of both contradict each other and not, because they're not just talking about how the world was created. They're talking about how their part of the world was created, and that is just as important, because it's because the way that I have come to comprehend all this in my brain is the whole cyclical. Humans imagine it becomes true. The thing the humans imagine interact with the humans, and then it until one of those, and then the humans believe it harder, so the thing becomes true more, until at some point one of those things breaks. Usually, it's the humans stop believing. That's usually the line. That's usually the circle that cuts it. And so they all coexist, but they all like. So it's like. Have you ever heard of like the multiverse theory, where all the worlds are like shaking at different frequencies, and they're all also right next to each other, and like all that that sort of idea. But now apply that to mythology, where you have this big chaos soup, and because all the stories do start with there was nothing, and then there was something, and that's why the title of the episode is that. It's all that sort of stuff, and they're all shaking, they all start with this big soup, and they all have similar things of, there was nothing, then there was something, and it's just how that something came to be, and then you almost got diverging paths, diverging multiverse, but they're all layered on top of each other, they're all still existing, and you can see that, my evidence for that in the Voidinverse is the Dawns and how it's layered, like onions have layers. So ogres, parfait. I still have no idea what parfait is. No clue.
You know what else everybody like? Parfait. Have you ever met a person and you say, hey, let's get some parfait. They say, hell no, I don't like no parfait. Parfaits are delicious.
Yeah, so that's the thought process behind it all, is they all exist, they all contradict each other, but in such a way that they don't. You have to jump through some hoops, because you're talking about an imaginary world that uses stories that humans told each other to help make sense of the world in different parts of the world that also influenced each other. So it's all soup becomes soupier and it becomes soupier, but because there was this point where in most stories there was nothing, then there was an egg, which birthed Kronos. I don't know, that was one of the stories. I found it funny. The egg. What is the egg? Why does... what came first, the chicken or the egg? In this case, it's the egg, and it's always the egg, because the, whatever birthed the egg was not a chicken. Evolution.
Yes, science!
Yeah, so that's the theory all behind it, is you've got all this, you layer it all on top of each other, and they're all connected, but not. And I feel like I'm talking in circles, because it's an odd question, because we're talking about these stuff, you can't definitively answer it, because it's influenced by the world around us and our existing world. And we made up stories about everything. We don't even know if the stories we're telling each other now are real until it's proved disproved. So, yeah, the only reason we kind of believe them is because other people have checked it and validated it. So it's just about that. But we don't know for sure. We could find out that Pluto isn't a planet, you know? That basics, but like on a huge scale. Like 4 isn't a number. I don't know. I'm making things up. But because all this randomness, they all do contradict each other in a way. But they also diverge at point zero, at point world creation. So they create their part of the world that way. Because also science exists in this universe. So it all gets very hoogly-boogly. But also the stories don't really exist unless humans believe in the stories. So did the stories come first? Or did the gods come first? Did the gods backdate themselves because of stories? Or were the gods always there? And they just, humans just believed in them. Then they became linked to human belief. That's a question that we might have another episode about. Rowan, you started a new angle of theory. Well done to you for giving me another way to lose my mind. And I love you for it.
Hi, this is Megs. I've gotten to guest on Through the Mist before, and we'll probably be returning to talk about monsters. So I'm very excited to share my theory. So we know that Camp Half-Blood is a safe space for demigods, mostly from monsters. But whether it's intentional or not, I think it does the same thing for nymphs. We know a lot of nymphs also live at camp. So like in Greek mythology, nymphs are typically related to the gods. They're like the daughters or granddaughters or great-great-great-great-granddaughters of minor or major gods. And so they're kind of used like bargaining chips. If a god needs to make a deal, he'll marry off a nymph from his lineage, or a god may just try to take a nymph for himself, like Apollo did this with Daphne, and that's how she ended up as the laurel tree. Or an example of a nymph being married off would be Thetis. Thetis was the daughter of the sea god Nereus, and Zeus and Poseidon both wanted to marry her, but then it was revealed through prophecy that her son was going to be greater than his father, so she's forced to marry the mortal king Peleus rather than risk patricide, which is a really big deal in Greek mythology, and she gives birth to Achilles. So all of that being said, there are very few places where nymphs are safe. When they live in nondescript forests or lakes or oceans, they can be found. Artemis does protect nymphs in her sacred forest, but she's notoriously harsh, and she like banishes nymphs or turns them into animals if they're ever attacked. But Camp Half-Blood is pretty much ignored by the gods. They only check in to claim their kids, and because they're all like super shitty parents, they don't keep a close eye on the camp. So maybe the nymphs have realized this and begun moving into camp because it keeps them out of the gods' view. Additionally, the camp is run by Chiron, who is one of the only figures in the world we know the gods respect. And I know he's a little bit silly in the books, but he still does have a very interesting and unique relationship with the Olympians. So if a god were to try and use a nymph in one way or another, they would finally have someone to object on their behalf. And I also think that the demigods would object as well, although they may be less successful.
Yeah! Cheers, Meg. Thanks. Thanks for that. Whoop, whoop. Meg, yeah, let's go. To summarise, what Meg said there was nymphs hide at Camp Half-Blood because it's a safe place for them as well, whether on purpose or by accident. I'm going by accident. Sorry, nymphs. but yeah, wonderful. Love it. Thank you very much, Megs, for getting involved in the sode. And one final thing before we wrap everything up, and that is from one of our favourite humans, Robert the Damn Meme Page. And you know what? This is a point that I have thought and I may do in the future. It will go down my list, Robert. Don't worry about it. And they have written this. I really feel like the real test of your sanity, look at the law and try to understand how it all works, will be determined once and for all who's the strongest demigod. And you know what, Robert? It would destroy my sanity. You're correct. It would also be the end of this, because I'll make many enemies, because, you know, and I would make enemies, and there's nothing I can do about it. So, yes. Thank you, everyone. So that's it. That's wonderful. That's it. Robert has given me a way to make enemies with all of you, lovely Mistbusters. And thanks to everyone that got in touch and everyone that's reviewed or rated the podcast. Thank you. I know this is a bit different. We'll get back to regular scheduled programming next time. Yeah. Take it out. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any theories of your own that you want me to discuss, like this entire episode has been, you can email them through to 3.t.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow the Instagrams at 2_mist. Make sure to like the podcast, follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. I've been Owen, and come back next time as you try to see through the mist. Spooky noises. You guys have been great. Cheers.